Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text is 1 John 1, 1 through 3. The Apostle John says, "That which was from the beginning, we have heard, we have seen, we have looked at with our eyes, and our hands have touched the living word, because the life appeared. We've seen it, we're witnesses to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life who was with the Father and who has appeared to us. What we've seen and heard, we proclaim to you too, so that you can share with us. Because we are sharing in the Father and in his Son, Jesus Christ." This is the word of the Lord. The Bible says that this whole universe is just a cellar in an enormous house. That there's a huge upstairs and a mega wide outdoors. The Bible says that upstairs and all outdoors is verse 1, that which was from the beginning, namely God to infinity. Verse 2, the eternal life in person, calling us up and out, and telling us that it's time to practice for life out of the cellar, with loving and forgiving and being glad about the future ahead, telling us that it's time to rise and shine. Of course, if the Bible's wrong, then it's just time to duck and cover, same as always. If all there is just this basement, then you had better learn to be a clever cellar dweller. Because though the world can be beautiful, there's things in the cellar. There's people here who will do unto you unless you do unto them first. And if you forgive them, won't they just do it again? There's economic surprises that sneak up on you when you're not looking. There's all kinds of things that'll take what you've got. And though, as I say, there's pretty things here, there's death that'll take it all. Every Christmas, you can count the ones who got taken this year. If there's nothing but this dark place where confused notions clash by night, well, then take care of number one. And look out for me and mine. And that old atheist, Ebenezer Scrooge, was right. Okay, Scrooge was a miser. Yeah, yes, he was cold and grasping and selfish. All right, he was a total jerk. But if reality really was as tiny as Scrooge thought it was, then he was just being smart. If there's nothing but the cellar and everything else is humbug, if it's just you get born, you die, and in between you eat, then you better use your teeth. I understand Scrooge. It's harder to understand folk these days whose reality is every bit as tiny as Scrooge's. There's nothing but this world. You came out of nothing. You're headed for nothing. But they're also cheerful about it, you know, dancing in the food chain as if it were a conga line, or to be blunt, dancing into the darkness and then hell to pay. And they're smiling like they don't see what's happening. And I understand that. When you can't stand to watch, you close your eyes. What I really don't understand is myself. Because I'm a Christian. I know how much is out there. I know where I've been called to. So how can I be a miser with my love as if it were rationed? How can I be stingy with forgiveness as if there weren't plenty to go around and plenty for the next time too? Or any of us, how can we not pray as if there were nowhere to pray to? Or how can we not learn the word as if Scripture were what, humbug? Or how can we be talked into what really is humbug? By which I mean tiny lives and clever basement living. Or how can it happen that we can feel like something cornered and then show our teeth? We can revert That's how we can revert to sharp-toothed ignorance. It's tragic, but we can get used to a very small reality again. We can enjoy posing as the sort of people who are too cool to hope for anything more. We can enjoy calling ourselves bottom line kind of people, when bottom line, we just want to be left alone, no matter how much denial it takes. And you know, maybe it does get dark down here, but that makes it perfect for undisturbed sinning. Maybe there are things in the cellar, but if we keep our eyes closed, we don't have to see them until the second they take us. Until, oddly enough, you know, we can be scared of the dark and scared of the light too. Not least because if there is anything upstairs, it's got to be big, way bigger than we are. So it's no surprise that when light shines down the cellar stairs, people think they're being hunted and they hide. The shepherds outside Bethlehem, well, they ducked and covered. Why? You remember that old song, "You Light Up My Life"? Remember that? Yeah. People used to sing that to Christ, "You Light Up My Life." Yeah, sure, but if you're hiding, that's exactly the problem. And people say, "Oh, please. Oh, please, please. Please, please make it smaller." Because the last thing they want is for there to be something up there, really. And the very last thing they want is to hear footsteps coming down the stairs. Our own conscience makes us sure that whatever's coming down, it'll be harsh and cold and inhuman. And so they tell Christians, "Spare me, please. Please spare me." And how do you know what's out there anyway? St. John says, because what's out there has come in. Verse 2, the eternal life has appeared to us. We are witnesses. What's up there has come down. That glory blazing on those poor sheep herders, that was the door opening at the top of the cellar stairs. Except, of course, that he'd already come down 9 months before. The door at the top of the stairs just opened for some shouting over him getting born down here in the basement, and not harsh or cold or inhuman at all, whatever else he was. He was a baby. And verse 1, that which has been from the beginning, we saw it. We heard it. We watched it with our eyes. We touched it with our hands. We watched it heal sick people and feed hungry people and hold scared people. We saw it turn water into wine and walk on water and welcome the worst of us and rise from the dead and break all the petty little duck and cover rules. In verse 3, John says, what we've seen and heard, we proclaim to you. What's out there is powerful and compassionate and glad as morning, bright as noon, and thank God, very, very, very big. Because he didn't come into the basement to condemn the basement, but to save it. And by the time he's done, the whole new cellar is going to be bright as upstairs and full of growing things. Because what's all outside and has come in is love that asks no questions because he already knows the answers. Love who lights up our lives to clean our wounds. Love who pulls off our masks because he loves our faces. He demands that we face reality, including the reality of sinning and dying and hell to pay, because the overwhelming and infinite reality is God so good that he came down to find what was lost in the dark, as if you were a treasure he didn't want to live without. You are. That's why he came here, knowing there's things in the cellar, like people who would do unto him very bad things. And there's all kinds of sins in the dark that take so much, so he took them all on himself, and there's death that took him. With his eyes wide open, with his eyes wide open and looking at us with love, while that which was from the beginning died to make us safe, died to take away every reason we ever had to hide, so that even down here, starting now, we can share in the eternal life from outside the world. Merry Christmas. Verse 3, we can share in the Father and in His Son, Jesus Christ. We can share the eternal life to infinity. We can share in the love we were made for as if we were welcome. We are. It's like your past doesn't count because it's covered. Did you ever sense that you were made for more than basement living? You were right. The angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone all around them, and hey, look, the cellar door's open all the way up, with light streaming in where Jesus Christ is shining in the darkness and calling every one of us, come out, whatever you are. Repent and believe the good news and rise and shine, which means, come on, little one, let's live a little. As those who are going to live a lot. It's Christmas Eve. Don't be afraid of bright things. Which brings up my totally favorite scene in A Christmas Carol. You know that part where little Scrooge is hiding behind the bed curtains in his bare gray miser apartment, and the spirit of Christmas present calls from the next room, Scrooge. And Scrooge sees this golden light coming in, streaming in under his bedroom door like whatever's in the next room doesn't care a thing about electric bills. And the poor wee man with the tiny reality gets up shaking and squinting, and he opens the door to a blaze of light, this mammoth feast all waiting for him like the past didn't count. And this glad booming voice says, come in and know me better, man. You've not seen my like before. Of course, that's just a Christmas tale. The reality is Matthew coiled over his money, and the light and voice are Jesus Christ saying, follow me. You've not seen my like before. The reality is Paul coiled over his image and shrunk into this hard little knot of self-esteem, suddenly lying on his back on the road to Damascus, and the light and the voice are Jesus Christ saying, get up and know me better, man. The reality is all of us, whoever were curled up in the dark and dying of it, till the light came in and love got reckless and the eternal life which was from the beginning called out, learn from me. You've not seen my kind before. I don't give the way the world gives. Come in and know me better. Amen.